No doubt about it. But now we are joined by our guy, Nate Taylor, the Athletic, on Fesco and Dusty.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break the news that Chris Jones is back with the Chiefs.
I'll get on that, Coach.
Yeah, all right.
Here's Nate Taylor from The Athletic.
My bad, former tight end, Gronkowski.
What'd you say?
I think I might have said linebacker. I don't mind him. I think I definitely did because the text line corrected me once again. It's been a rough day. Not a quality start, but a quality guest joins us now as we are joined by Nate Taylor, presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes.
See?
Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. Nate Taylor joins the show. Mark Ferguson, attorney at law, 816-221-1750. Mr. Taylor, how are you this morning on a Thursday?
I am doing well. Hilarious intro, as always, gentlemen. I'm good.
Good. All right. So, God, there's a couple of ways we could start this conversation today. Let's just start with where we kind of just ended there. Where do you think Joe Burrow is right now? Is he still considered, quote unquote, a good quarterback in this league? Or has it been too long since he's been a good quarterback and now just living off reputation alone?
Yeah, it's troubling for sure. And I can definitely see, obviously I heard the clip that was obviously around yesterday. And I understand it, and especially watching the game on Sunday, I just think, and I've said this a couple times, I don't know what is happening in Cincinnati. Obviously there's a Ja'Marr Chase, hold out, hold in. Is he going to play? Is he going to get a deal? Okay, now he's, you know, he's not happy. And now you have Joe Burrow who's, you know, the injuries are starting to pile up and the play has not been as consistent as I would like, or as I sort of, I guess, predicted before the season began. Yeah, it's troubling to understand that for all the things that Joe Burrow is capable of, especially working within the pocket, he ran into a couple sacks. He missed some guys that were open against the New England Patriots. You know, and obviously I think the challenge is going to get a lot harder playing the Kansas City Chiefs defense on Sunday. So, you look around the league and you're like, wow, okay, Josh Allen still looks amazing. Hey, you know, even though Caleb Williams didn't look awesome, you can still understand that, hey, it's his first ever NFL start. He's going to get better as he continues to play. Obviously we saw two of the best quarterbacks in the league last Thursday between Pat and Lamar Jackson. Yeah, as far as holding up his end of the bargain, I don't think Joe Burrow's really been right. And I just wonder, is it because yet again he's injured and he's sort of playing compromised, and he hasn't been really fully healthy since, what, 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not great. But, you know, for everything that, you know, he didn't play in the preseason, it's just tough. Like, I just don't know why he's not playing as well as we all expect him to.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you lost T. Higgins to injury. Ja'Marr Chase, I don't know if he's there or not. Your best running back's playing in Houston right now. So, you know, they haven't surrounded him with those weapons that he had a couple of years ago. And there are some quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, who make those dudes around them better. And there are some quarterbacks that may be a product of those dudes around them. And I think there are more guys, Nate, like Joe Burrow, who become better because of the dudes around them than there are Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady who make dudes around them better.
Right. And, you know, he's done it to a much bigger degree than someone like Kirk Cousins, right? I think, hey, Kirk Cousins can take you to the NFC Championship game if everything around him is excellent or top tier. You can say that about a number of guys. You know, I think what Joe Burrow has done in the past should make this rivalry, you know, something that really thrives for a decade. But I am concerned, based on what you said about, you know, the roster has to continue to have turnover. And that's why they gave you all that money, right? So that you could stabilize the franchise and you guys could still be good despite, you know, having new players or younger players or the roster, maybe getting better on one side of the ball than the other. Look, their defense is okay, but they weren't really tested a ton. You know, last week against the Patriots, of course, where they're going to get a lot tested on Sunday against the Chiefs. So you got to come off the bus when you get to Arrowhead on Sunday saying, hey, we need to score 30 points. I think we're back to that sort of era of Chiefs football where the opponent realizes we got to score, you know, more than what we do on an average NFL Sunday. But if your quarterback's not healthy, if your quarterback is dealing with his top receiver and they're not on the same page or their chemistry's a bit off just because of what's going on outside of the actual play, then, hey, man, they paid you all that money. And it's your responsibility to stay healthy or to be as healthy as possible, especially when you don't play in the preseason. So it's tough. And you might be right, Bob, where all of a sudden, you know, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd, Joe Mixon, Jamar Chase, that was pretty great. And it's not going to be like that throughout your entire career. It just can't.
I had a lot of comparisons in a previous topic about how this team is starting to remind me of that Jacksonville team in 2017 that called Tyreek Hill a return specialist. I know you heard the audio of Mr. Britt himself saying that Xavier Worthy runs really fast in a straight line. Seems like there's a lot of issues to worry about inside your four walls and maybe outside of what you can't control. Does that kind of give you the same vibe that if the Bengals come into this game and get absolutely housed, that they could be broken because it's just an embarrassment loss and they're 0-2 once again? Or is it just the Bengals always start slow and they had a tough week 2 matchup?
I think it might be a little bit different this time, Dusty, for the points you mentioned. It's not like their schedule's going to get easier. You know, they still have the Ravens to play twice this year, and I think the Ravens are obviously a very good football team. You know, I think because of, as we talked before, about the injury history involving Joe Burrow, man, you can't really be having these 0-2 starts anymore. Like, eventually it is going to catch up to you. And again, I think their division is pretty tough. So if you want to be an actual contender, they really need to be disciplined. They need to be more fundamentally sound. Obviously their quarterback needs to play better and they need more turnovers too. Right. I mean, that was the thing that was sort of troubling, is that they couldn't really create turnovers against New England. So if they lose Sunday to the Chiefs, let's say they lose by double digits in a game that was really never close. This could be a thing where it's very troubling because the talent isn't what it used to be. You know, Zach Taylor has had issues in September. I know you guys have discussed that before. Mm-hmm. But eventually, you can't be 0-2 and then realize that, oh, we still have 15 games to play. Like, it just doesn't work that way because, again, it's been basically 2 years since Joe Burrow played a full NFL season. And starting off 0-2 with a guy that has legitimate injury history, and the roster's not as good as it has been in the past, it could be dooming for them just because it may take them longer to get out of their hole than previously, just because of the talent that they had, because, you know, the schedule may have played out a certain way. The AFC is still a gauntlet, guys, and I just want those Cincinnati Bengals to be relevant. But if they lose Sunday, they might not be relevant by the time we get to October, just because you start to recognize, and this happens to, what, 2 or 3 teams every year. We say, oh, yeah, they're going to be good because they've always been good, because, hey, they have a good quarterback, and, hey, they have stability at the head coach position. And then all of a sudden you look around and you're like, well, they're not really good up front. They don't really tackle well. They don't create turnovers. Their quarterback, he's good, but he hasn't played up to his standard. And all of a sudden, other teams got better sort of around them. So it might be surprising by Halloween if you're like, wow, the Bengals are not a part of the equation when it comes to the playoffs, you know, halfway through the season. But again, this does happen year over year because there's a reason why teams go from, you know, worst to first. One of those teams that is a division champion, a team that's really been in the playoffs for the last 5 years, they eventually fall off. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but this could be the recipe for that type of team, right?
Right.
Because before the season started, I thought, oh, yeah, like the Bengals, they'll be like a 2, 3, 4 seed somewhere in there, obviously competing with Baltimore. But, yeah. What the team I watched on Sunday at home to one of the worst football teams from a talent standpoint, Yeah, you could doom your season this September for sure.
No question, Nate Taylor. And that's why I look at this game as, next to the Raiders, this is the team that the Chiefs want to go out and embarrass the most. And I think this is one of those games where the Chiefs score early, they score often, and they never let up on the gas. And I know Andy Reid doesn't like to go out there and embarrass teams. I mean, we've seen that over the years. But I feel like this is one where you go out there and you smoke this Bengals team, and you essentially have put them out of their misery before we've reached the 15th of September. And it's all said and done for the Cincinnati Bengals, and you've beaten the Bengals and you've beaten the Ravens, and now who's next, right?
Yeah. You still have the Bills on your schedule, of right. course, but yeah, you get a nice 2-love advantage over, you know, two teams in the NFC North. It's going to be great. I mean, look, fellas, we all saw the games on Sunday.
Mm-hmm, right.
I have a lot of respect for Jim Harbaugh, because Jim Harbaugh realizes my team's not great, but you know what? We're not going to beat ourselves. The Raiders are still the Raiders. The Broncos are starting a rookie quarterback. It's going to be rough. You know, there should be no excuse for the Chiefs to go 5-1 in the division, maybe sweep it, you know, if you don't have a dip in your performance. So, really, it does come down to, okay, you have the tiebreaker over the Ravens. If you beat the Bengals on Sunday, the only team that I guess you worry about is, like, again, outside of your division, is, like, maybe Houston, which is on your right. schedule as well. Obviously, there's Buffalo, because I think Josh Allen's going to – can I just say this right now? I think Josh Allen's going to win the MVP, guys, because he knows he has to be Superman every time he steps on the field, because they were down 17-0 to the Arizona Cardinals at home in the season opener. So he said, okay, fine, I'll put the cape on. I'm going to score ridiculous highlight touchdowns. And he'll probably carry them to the playoffs. That's how good Josh Allen is, of course, if he stays healthy throughout the course of the season. So I don't see – I mean, I was interested to see what happened with the Jets, but – that wasn't great. So
we'll
give them, you know, we'll give them a month, because Aaron Rodgers hasn't played football in almost 2 years.
But that's another guy we keep apologizing for, Nate, like in that Joe Burrow category. There's a good chance that Aaron Rodgers is just done. He's got a busted Achilles and he's 40. Like, stuff happens.
Yeah. It's not great, but I thought the Jets were going to be, you know, controlled, you know, I thought the Jets' best path towards winning was through their defense, and they got absolutely smoked on Monday.
Right, and we were told for the last 2 years, just wait, this Jets defense is so good. Well, while we were waiting, they were moving into John Knox Village, man. Like.
Right. So, again, it's just 1 week. I am intrigued by Anthony Richardson in Indianapolis. Again, I don't think the Colts are, like, that good, but, like, hey, he's a fun quarterback to watch, and who knows? Like, I don't trust Jacksonville. So the Chiefs, if they're 2-0 on Sunday, they are in prime position, you know, pole position, obviously, to have the inside track to the one seed. But, yeah, I think the next two games that are, you know, sort of big ones that you can circle on your calendar, outside of them trying to throw 50 on the Raiders, is, of course, against the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans. It's interesting enough, too, that, like, you know, those games are much later in the year, especially the one against Houston, of course, and that could have the most playoff implications beyond these first two games, which is why the NFL scheduled it this way. The NFL thought, well, hey, at least one of these two teams would be good. Hey, maybe two of them will be good between the Ravens and the Bengals. So, you know, taking care of business at home, being 2-0, obviously staying relatively healthy. Who knows? I don't know if Hollywood Brown will be back for Sunday's game. There's obviously a small chance, but if not, then he'll come back next week against the Atlanta Falcons. So, hey, even if you're 2-0 without your projected number one receiver that you signed in the offseason, it bodes well for you having the ability to create some distance between you and everybody else in the standings.
Last one here, Nate. I said yesterday, before I saw the Xavier Worthy audio of Cameron Britt, I think two of the most, if not the two most important players in this game will be for the Kansas City Chiefs, will not be somebody and Mahomes. I think it's Karlaftis and Jones. They were very good in week one. This is one of those combinations where, yeah, you got Orlando Brown Jr. over there. Maybe Chris Jones should just line up in front of him the entire game. But also, like, we're getting to a level now where, like, you can't just, like, double cover, you know, Chris Jones every player. Karlaftis is going to beat you one-on-one more often than you would like. So, you know, kind of interested to know what you think about the defensive side where it comes to those two giants up front really disrupting things for Burrow, who may or may not have a dainty wrist. I have no idea what to believe anymore.
I mean, shout out to my guys in Cincinnati who are like, hey, Joe Burrow has a wristband on, guys. I don't know what that means. You know, there's obviously the evidence of him picking up the Gatorade bottle and it not looking normal. But yeah, okay, with a week of treatment, hopefully his wrist is fine. When it comes to the Chiefs defense, yeah, Chris Jones should be able to continue to feast, much like we saw last week against the Ravens. And George Karlaftis will not have as difficult of a assignment as I think people realize. Part of what Karlaftis was trying to do was, hey, if Jones is going to create pressure on Lamar Jackson, we expect Lamar Jackson to scramble, to move around. And it's my job to sort of, you know, kind of with Leo Chanel, contain him as best possible so that he doesn't have a clear path towards scrambling for 25 yards, right? Now, even though Lamar had 100 rushing yards, he really had to earn it. He got hit a lot. It's not the way you would want Lamar Jackson to play the first game of the season. This week against Cincinnati, I wonder if you get the Bengals in third and long, right, and you understand that Trent McDuffie is probably going to have a little bit of coverage help on Jamar Chase, and if we do not see T. Higgins, there's not going to be an easy outlet for Joe Burrow. So all of a sudden now it becomes third and long, and one of these two guys that you mentioned, Dusty, will have a one-on-one, whether it is George Karlaftis or Chris Jones, with the crowd noise. And you know Spags is going to have, you know, some exotic blitzes here and there just to sprinkle things along. But I do think it's less of a burden on Karlaftis, who's like, hey, I just don't want to get my lane and my containment destroyed because Lamar Jackson sprints for 40 yards. I have to be responsible for the other guys behind me. Whereas, you know, Joe Burrow doesn't have the same elusiveness. He's athletic, but he's not obviously as quick, as fast as Lamar Jackson. So he can sort of pin his ears back and really tee off if given the opportunity on third down. And another guy to sort of keep in mind that really surprised me watching the film, especially the All-22, is Tershawn Wharton, right? He got consistent pressure in certain situations. He was very good. And, you know, coming off a full year of just getting behind the ACL injury that he had 2 years ago, he looks to be the player he was before the ACL tear. So he may also have a role in sort of, hey, if Chris Jones is going to get double teamed and we know it's third down, well, Tershawn Wharton's going to have, you know, a one-on-one against the guard just as much as, you know, George Karlaftis is going to have a one-on-one against Orlando Brown or the tackle opposite of him. The Bengals do not do – this is the last thing I'll tell you guys. I know Zach Taylor's a pretty good coach, but I think they might have to change their playing style because they're so used to having, hey, three wide receivers, a tight end split out, you know, really having Joe Burrow just survey the field in shotgun. Well, if the talent from those skill position players is not what it used to be, you should probably help your quarterback and protect him with a running back, with a tight end. Because if you don't, then it does allow one-on-one opportunities for pass rushers. And if your quarterback's already dealing with a wrist injury like we believe, you should try to help protect him more so than trying to get five people out in certain routes, especially if it's third and long. So I do wonder, will Zach Taylor, from a schematic standpoint, stay in that, you know, 11 personnel, try to spread things out? And we've seen it in the past, that doesn't matter if Chris Jones is harassing you in 2 seconds or less.
All right, Nate, we'll enjoy those chicken tenders at halftime that they serve that are so great with
the and the chicken
cheese.
Salad that people thought was mayonnaise or mashed potatoes or whatever Alex thought it was.
That's right, true story. He thought the chicken salad was he thought it was mashed potatoes
because they put out bowls of mashed potatoes over ice. Nate,
that's right. That's right. All right, Nate, enjoy the game. Enjoy the rest of your week, and hopefully you're sitting at 2-0. We're doing this again next Thursday, talking about the Falcons.
That's right, fellas. Thank you so much.